Welcome to another edition of Inside United. This is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. On this podcast, we talk to people who can help inform us about important things in our lives. And today we have a returning guest, Howard Marchbanks. He has been a financial advisor for 25 years. He is a member of the United Church of God and has been working for the church for the last year. And he has stopped by to discuss the planned giving program, and he will do that again today. On his last appearance here, Howard talked to us about preparing financially for the future in retirement, for our children, and for legacy. He spoke to us about the different seasons, the different financial seasons of life, and what we should be doing. So Howard has some valuable information to share with us today. Welcome again to Inside United, Howard.
Thank you, Vic, for having me here today. What I really wanted to discuss with folks today is the ageless question, and I'll say this tongue-in-cheek, what happens when we die? We know we're part of a church, but now what we're talking about today is what happens to all my possessions when I die? Where our assets go, where our property goes, and we boil this down today, what we want to talk about is some basic ways to name beneficiaries.
So in simple terms, you know, we have a lifetime of accumulation that we have. And you know, as we look beyond our lifetime, you know, what's going to happen to the stuff that we have? I guess that's basically a way to put it. And, you know, who will get what? You know, what will our children receive?
And it can be an entity like a church or a charitable organization. It can be your mother, brother, sister, wife, whoever you want. Mm-hmm. But you know, the problem we have today, Vic, is about 50% of the American adults don't have any wills or other estate documents in place. And what happens is people can die what's called intestate, which means that they are going to get the standardized will that the state is going to give you. The state will then hunt down your heirs and relatives and portion out your possessions as per their standardized will. And even worse than that is if you have minor children, the state will also go in and determine who's going to take care of your kids.
Uh-huh. So you say up to 50% of our people don't have anything in place for that?
You think of how young you would have to be. You could be 18 and be an adult. And I mean, you got a lot of lives in there. And young people, they think nothing's going to happen. So they don't take care of these things till they get into their 40s, 50s, sometimes 60s.
And as they get older, they don't want to do it or just want to deny the inevitable and just keep on going.
Exactly. You know, so what we want to talk about today is some easy things to do so people can get out of that 50% range. Probably we'll get into two different processes that we can do it. I'm going to start with the harder one, and then we'll go to the simpler one. So having a will, which we know is called a last will and testament, it is basically a legal document that you are making with yourself. You're identifying yourself, you're identifying your family, and you're giving instructions on how your property is to be disposed of after your death, and you're naming beneficiaries on it. Now, in order to do this will, you're either going to have some smarts and be able to do it online, because there are some good online companies that will do it at a reasonable fee, or you hire an attorney. But also, let me just interject a little, you know, bracket right here. It's really important that you have all the documents that go along with the will, because there's a power of attorney and healthcare directives that are really important. So we'll have that in another discussion, but certainly that's something to be aware of when you're putting your will together. There are other little documents that should be going along with that. Now, in a will, the process is bequeathing. So you are going to bequeath an asset, your car, your home, your wedding ring, to a person that you name the beneficiary in your will. You're going to also have somebody that's called the executor. And an executor is going to be somebody that you're trusting, you're confiding in now while you're living, and they are going to be helping dispose of your assets per your instructions.
Okay, now one thing about that is that, yes, you know, people realize that there's this executor position in person, but, you know, you really begin to reach out more than just beyond documents. You're reaching out to another person. What are some advice that you can give us about who this person should be and how you choose one as you consider the things that they will be doing for you?
With an executor, you're going to want perhaps somebody that's younger than you, first off, that is going to be reliable. So you're looking for somebody who's reliable, somebody who you see is organized in their own affairs. Because when they become an executor, they are, in essence, becoming you in absence. And they're having to find your documents and how you store your things. So there has to be some understanding of, oh yeah, grandma kept her stuff in this drawer and she told me this. So it's someone that you're going to be instructing how to take care of your affairs when you're gone. And, you know, along with that is the executor is probably going to be the person that's going to be arranging your funeral. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't necessarily want to have your funeral arrangements placed in your will. That's not the place to put it, but it could be in a letter that's attached in it that's signed by you.
Mm-hmm. One thing, too, that might be said is these are sensitive financial things. I have been to visit a family where the father, well, he was, you know, older. He died relatively suddenly. And I was a friend of the family, you know, and I was invited to, you know, be with the family when they died. But they could not find the will, you know, and they really had no idea who the executor was. I think they eventually found it because things got straightened out. But I recall how there was a frantic search for those documents. And I think that that's an important part of what a family does is to have a place where it's kind of known by a circle of people where to go and what to do.
I've been involved with those cases as well, Vic. And I think of one case that my client's father was dying and he said, I need you to come over to my parents' house and I need you to go through my dad's office and see what he has because I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things weren't somewhat in order. But also I think of a case, my own personal case, my father was dying and he had a wife and he was divorced, not my mother, and he needed to do a deathbed will to make sure it was his children that received his property instead of his ex-wife that was gone 10 years previous.
Yeah, and all that type of thing has to be in, you know, set in place. Otherwise, you might have litigation afterwards.
Frantic planning is never a good option. Mm-hmm. Going ahead of time, thinking it out in a good state of mind. You know what happens? Some people, they just get too old to make decisions. And mm-hmm. Boy, we're sure happy when we see that they have documents that they did 10 years previously.
Well, why don't you walk us through some of the things here that people can do as far as the will, the executor, and some really step-by-step points that a person can do?
Well, I think when you're putting together a will, you have to say to yourself, what do I not need to place in this will? What am I able to leave to my beneficiaries in accounts or contracts that are separate from the will? And the second way to leave a legacy is using will substitutes. And will substitutes is a kind of an odd word, but basically it can be an account or a deed, a contract that has named beneficiaries and a method or process to distribute that property, the benefit, to the beneficiaries. Types of accounts like this are going to be payable on death or transfer on death accounts at your bank or your brokerage. They will have named beneficiaries. They can be done for husband and wife, and you could have the contingent beneficiaries on there. A contingent beneficiary is one who would receive the benefit if the first primary beneficiaries are unable or unwilling to take the benefit or to be the beneficiary. There are types of real estate titles that are going to be able to bypass your will. Joint tenants' rights of survivorship is one of those. There are life insurance and annuity contracts. They, by design, have named beneficiaries, and even better, they can have payout options for those beneficiaries as well to give you some power from the grave, which after all, this whole discussion is all about, is being able to determine where your assets go when you're no longer breathing air. Also, retirement plans. It's a requirement that your retirement plans, your 401ks, your 403bs, IRAs, Roth IRAs, they also need to have named beneficiaries on those. And there are certain benefits to those beneficiaries to receive those retirement accounts too that are taxably favorable. So again, you look at this basket of property, this basket of assets, and say, I have named beneficiaries on those, therefore, they don't need to go into your will. And to our point with a younger generation, if all they have is a 401k plan or a Roth IRA and a savings account, they can probably be pretty safe knowing that they have done their part of estate planning that they need to. But once they get married, have children, then again, the will becomes a good first step.
I know that my wife and I have started a discussion between ourselves, because obviously probably one of us will die before the other, as to what needs to be done, so that where are the documents, where are the papers, where are the passwords, and that type of thing. And I think it may be good, Howard, in this program here, we do want to talk to you more about these things, to kind of give us a prioritized summary of things to do, and then maybe give us a little bit of an overview of these first 2 points about the way to leave a legacy through the will and also through will substitutes.
Well, so what you're asking about is, where is the starting point? I haven't started to do any of this process. Where do you go? Well, it starts with, you know, in our field of business, we call it a data collection. You're going to find out what you own and make a list of your, you know, retirement accounts, your savings accounts, your rental property, houses, of what you own, evaluation on those. And again, for your purposes, you can just make it an estimate on those. You're just trying to get a framework. And then what you owe, you know, who do you owe money to? Where are your liabilities? Charge card debt, mortgages that you may have, other private loans you may have. So you have own what you own versus what you owe, and then you got to determine which one of those things can I use a will substitute on. Well, the retirement plan, check that off. My life insurance contract, check that off. And then you're going to have a shorter list of, okay, this is my important things that I'm undetermined on. And those things should go into your will. And again, there are a lot of good online services that are available for doing this at a reasonable cost. LegalZoom has a good online legal assistance, and they verify your documents and make sure that they comply with state and local laws. And again, that's one of the big problems with a will, is every state has different rules and regulations in making those wills and making them a valid will. It makes no sense to make a will and not have it valid. Quicken Willmaker and Trust 2020, it can be downloaded, and it has an interview format in order to fill in the blanks. It'll coach you along the way. Has a manual that can answer some basic questions. And then there's another one that's called Total Legal, totallegal.com. It is a low-cost choice, and it's no frills. And again, it has an online interview process. And there's many others, but I like to pick the bigger names, because I believe they're just going to be a little bit more reliable.
Okay, that's very, very good information. I might just tell our audience, those of you listening here, is that Howard's first program was, our interview with Howard was very, very popular, you know, by the number of people who came to listen to it. I know people listen and maybe they think about it, and had even people who wrote to us and said, I would like to get in touch with Howard Marchbanks. So if you would like to get in touch with us, if you have any questions about this, write to us at podcast@ucg.org, and we'd be glad to help you out and inform you and give you more information.
Well, and in closing, I'd like to say that we didn't cover everything we had initially had on our list. We didn't even talk about trust today, Vic, and that's a very major part of this estate planning and legacy planning, and it is a complicated conversation that maybe we can have on another later date. But as a summary and a takeaway, I'd just like to remind folks that the Bible repeatedly emphasizes that God's servants are to be wise stewards and managers over their resources that he provides them, and that we recognize that these resources, be it financial, physical, and human alike, actually belong to him rather than any individual themselves. And it's our responsibility under God to take care of these things.
Right. The Bible speaks numerous times, we talked about last time, numerous times about money and the use of money, stewardship of money. And many examples are not good examples as far as how people misuse money or don't really care for their future or spend it wastefully. But I think it's very, very important for us to understand that the proper stewardship of money is part of our character and how we do things.
It is a Christian value, Vic.
And I feel it's important for us to talk about these things. So money is one of those very sensitive issues because, you know, we're all so different in, you know, our incomes and how we use money and personal tastes and so forth. But I think it's important to teach our children about money. You know, in the back of the United News, you know, we do have on the back page, the last four or five issues here, a column by Howard about the use of money. And one of the things that we want to do is to, you know, teach our children, you know, how to use money, you know, how to save, how to, you know, plan for something, you know, and even how to give to others. You know, I think it's so important for parents to teach their children about not just having every single cent, you know, for yourself, you know, but how to look out, you know, for others and how to be caring, because how you use money is a reflection really of your character and how loving and giving you are.
Well, and that will be covered in that next article that's coming out. You know, one other thing that we have, Vic, is we have our planned giving brochure, and it covers all these topics that we talked about today, and it gives information on how, if you have your heart motivated, that you can also give a gift to the United Church of God.
Right, right. Because people do ask us that. I mean, we do have people who ask, and, you know, they think that, you know, well, they're not asking, so I'm not really interested. But we do need money to continue operating, and that's how a church is financed, you know, by those who are committed to the teachings, you know, of the church, to committed in their conversion towards God, as to how they want to share their joy and how they want to share the message that we preach to the world. And that's how it's done.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Howard, it's been really great talking to you today. I really, really appreciate knowing you all these years and the things that you have been able to help us with. And we will talk about trusts next time. So thank you for joining us today on Inside United. Please tell your friends about Inside United and the things that we talk about here. You can find us on the ucg.org website on the main, go to the main menu bar and click or tap on podcast. You can also use your favorite Android or Apple podcasting app. I use Pocket Casts. I'm an Android person. You can also write to us, as I mentioned before, to podcast@ucg.org. podcast@ucg.org. You can also find us on Spotify. So come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.